Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation.
The Moms for America podcast was invited to the White House to talk with administrative officials regarding President Trump's 100 days in office. All that is coming up next.
This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast again this week. So glad that you're joining us. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms and their journey through motherhood. Well, big news. It was a great honor when the Moms for America podcast was invited to the White House recently in recognition of President Trump's first 100 days in office. I had the incredible opportunity to speak with several officials on what the administration has accomplished. Let me tell you about my first interview. First is my conversation with senior policy advisor and mom of two daughters, May Mailman. May is a heavy hitter. Let me tell you, she earned her law degree from Harvard, where she served as president of the Federalist Society. Now, previously, May was a legal advisor to President Trump, where she advised on a wide range of policies, including health care, immigration, and social issues. She's also the former legal director of the Independent Women's Forum, which we absolutely love because of their work to protect women and children. We covered many of the president's policy changes, like from the definitions of male and female to the elimination of racist DEI policies to restoring parental rights and so much more. We actually started our conversation talking about President Trump's executive order protecting girls' sports. Take a listen.
I honestly blame the Democrats for just handing it over to the Republicans.
They sure did.
Like, this is an 80-20 issue that people say out loud. I think if you were to ask a liberal, like, quietly, hey, do you want your daughter to have to go up against a dude? Like, no. They would say no. So there's, like five crazy people, but then otherwise, no. So the protecting women's sports, we didn't do it day one because we wanted to do it at a time that was Women and Girls in Sports Day, that a lot of people were already going to be in D.C. fighting for this issue on the Hill. And that day was a day that was not about us. It was for all the people who had been fighting so hard
it
for this.
It was.
And so it was so awesome to see not only like the household names, Riley Gaines, Paula Scanlon, people who had been affected, who had to change with men, who had to give up trophies to men. So yeah, you have almost like that original generation. But then you have the next generation of kids who almost maybe now are used to it. They go to a YMCA bathroom and they're forced to confront a man.
It's unbelievable.
And to say, we're done with this. And so having all these women, all these girls there supporting is a memory that I'll have for a long time.
And how about it when President Trump then said, come on up here, come on and gather around. And actually, some of our mom's kids are just right there in those photos. It was really magic. Just to have the little girls by President Trump, I thought, why? He's just such a grandpa. He's trying to make sure that these kids, you know, like his grandchildren, have a safe place in America where they don't have to be with men. How horrible. And how would anyone think that that is a good idea?
Yeah.
He promised he would fix it, and he sure did.
He's a common sense president. It's not an issue that I think he or anyone else really thought you'd have to take on. But here we are. And one of the things that I think, one of the reasons why we were able to do this is for so long people saw things like this happening,
sure,
but they were scared to say something. And you had a few voices here and there, but I'm talking even before Riley Gaines, there were runners in Connecticut who were beat out males. During 1.0, our Department of Justice filed in that case on behalf of the female runners, and then Biden, of course, undid it. So we were making moves in this direction anyway, but it was quiet. The public wasn't keyed in, you know, these types of things. But then the president really made this a key part of his campaign. It was the loudest applause line at the convention when he says, I'm going to get the men out of women's sports. And once you could say it out loud on a stage like that, then everyone can say it. You don't have to be a Fox News host. You can just be a mom in your...
That's right.
who's not even particularly partisan, just watching sports, and you can say something like this, and it's okay. And
right.
his leadership and being able to say things out loud, some people, oh my gosh, President Trump always says everything. Yeah, we need somebody to be able to say it
out
to make
loud.
It okay for other people to say it because it's true.
Right. It gives everyone else courage.
Yes.
And it is contagious.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen that with even just the way President Trump has approached the media or the border or all these issues. He gets it on the table, he states the obvious, it's common sense, and then really everyone does come alongside him eventually and say, you know what, there's something to this. We've seen this through his campaign and now the administration.
Yeah, and so even before the sports executive order was something even more fundamental. So on day one, there was an executive order defining male and female.
Another one. I mean,
and this is it's like funny to say, but it's actually not, because
right.
the word woman, sometimes people almost are scared to say woman because does it mean man? And so they'll say female as if female
birthing person, chest feeder. What it's
the
what
language
insanities.
Has gotten so crazy. No. When we say woman, what we mean is adult
woman, yes.
female. When we say girl, what we mean is minor female. And these are terms that used to be so controversial. So when you are in a women's prison, when you're in a women's rape shelter, when you're in a women's locker room,
yes.
when you're in a sorority,
it's essential
that you know what that means. And a society that doesn't have language is not a society anymore. And having that as day one, I think, was really fundamental to having women's sports. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't know what women's sports are, then it doesn't matter if you protect women's sports, because
right.
it just means men.
Yeah. And he's not going to let women be erased. So for our moms, another very big. What about some of the other executive orders? A couple of highlights.
Okay. What are some of my favorites?
There's so many.
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned one of Biden's first things was saying that we're going to have equity everywhere.
Yes.
So we signed a couple of big anti-DEI executive order. One was really focused on government, getting the DEI out of government, shutting down all of Biden's DEI offices, closing down all the grants that we're giving to private companies that are just asking them to implement racism, basically.
Right.
And then we had one that was focused more on outside groups. So telling schools, if you are going to be a school taking
yes.
federal money, you're not going to discriminate against your students.
And moms have had this happening on every corner of our country, unfortunately. There has been such discrimination.
There really has been. And some of it is nefarious. Well, they'll just shut down algebra. There's no more algebra because what if the races in the algebra aren't equalized? No. Schools should be treating people equally and not making decisions based on the race of their kid. Also getting the gender ideology out of schools.
Yes.
We signed an executive order on that. COVID mandates, that's another one where there might not be a COVID vaccine mandate right now in your school, but they can implement it at any time. And so we signed an executive order basically saying that we are going to enforce people's individual rights over these school shutdowns. So there's policies now in place that schools are not going to be as easily able to lock kids out of the classroom.
Thank goodness.
I think also the cultural change that we're seeing in universities, so whether that's Columbia, Harvard, some of these universities that have lost a lot of money, University of Pennsylvania, we took away some of their money, but also we found them liable under Title IX that they are discriminating against women. They're the ones that had Leah Thomas. So some of these big cultural shifts that I think you're going to start seeing, not just the government shut down their DEI offices, but you're already seeing these universities, private companies, if they want to do business with the federal government, they want to have taxpayer dollars, then they're not going to discriminate against women. They're not going to discriminate on the basis of race. And that type of cultural change is going to just reverberate for generations.
Yeah. Great highlights. There's one that I wanted to just come back to, and that was the executive order on stopping the mutilation of children and
yes.
the sterilization of children. Another huge mom issue, because a lot of these moms have lost their children to the school system, to the doctors. They've lost their parental rights completely, and the schools and they have all made these decisions without parents even knowing. And of course, these drugs and everything are just horrendous. I mean,
yeah.
they're sterilizing children, literally
so,
children.
It is awful to see that you can't be a tomboy anymore
right.
because you'll get your body parts chopped off. And when I was growing up, it was okay. It was okay to be be a feminine guy. It was okay to be a masculine girl. It was okay.
And you were working it all out.
You were just whatever.
You were working it all out.
Yeah. You're sporty. Like, but now, nope, you're a boy. And so we got to make these changes. And it is so damaging. It's so anti-science. It's anti-parent. It's anti-family. And of course, it's anti-kid. So what we did in signing this executive order, one, we're not going to fund hospitals that do this type of practice anymore. But two, there's going to be something released this week.
Uh-oh, some scoop.
And it is going to fundamentally reshape the way that people treat the science. Because for so long, this really nefarious group, WPATH, that was totally influenced by the Biden administration saying, hey, the science needs to say to trans the kids. The science needs to say to trans the kids. And so, of course, all these doctors would say, well, I have to trans the kids because that's what the science says to do, which is, of course, crazy. It would be like telling an anorexic person to just keep not eating.
Although those doctors do know, but they've got to go along to get their checks and their support and all that.
Yeah. So having that scientific basis, which the UK and other foreign countries have started to do, which is say, oh my gosh, cutting off body parts is not the way. We're going to have a really big report coming out that is going to reestablish what the science is, going to change what's the standard of practice, I think, in medicine, change what the courts think. Hopefully, you know, parents are getting their kids taken away from them in states like California because you're a child abuser.
Sure they were.
So reshaping what the science is from neutral, non-political, like trustworthy people, those people still exist, and those people are going to speak some truth here this week, so it's very exciting.
Oh, thank you for that tip, May. And that is it, too. I mean, when we start, when you have something that is a fallacy, and you build on that, and you intimidate those parents and those kids, I mean, we've seen how devastating it is. So thank you to President Trump and the team for working so hard on that. It was another really big mom issue. What can we expect maybe the next 100 days? We got a little bit of a tip there.
Yeah. So a couple of things. One,
I don't know how we can top the first 100, but we're going to, I'm sure.
Yeah, I am more excited for the second 100 for a few reasons. One, district courts are out of control. So even some of the hospitals that we wanted to defund, and these are discretionary funds. We don't have to give a hospital money. These are research funds, and you accept them saying you're going to follow correct, you know, medical practices, and you're not. But a lot of these have been enjoined, and so getting out from under those crazy injunctions. So I think you're going to see even more of our policies that have already been announced be able to be implemented. And then I think, two, is executive orders are, at the end of the day, announcements of policies.
Right.
It's saying what we're going to do. And there is some immediate action, but sometimes it takes a little while to actually get the things in place. So if we're going to say, hey, every grant to a university needs to have these provisions in them, well, the next grant cycle isn't 1 second from then. It's when the next grant cycle is.
Right. So a lot There's of the a things, rollout of this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of things that are going to be, that have been announced, are going to be implemented, and I think even they're going to be cemented in. So it's kind of like Biden on the first day announced all this crazy stuff, and they spent the next 4 years rooting it into society. We're going to do that rooting now. We're going to get into the deep state and make these the policies of the United States that are not easy for the next administration to undo, unless, of course, hopefully it is us, but the next bad administration to undo.
Right. And to your point, executive orders are, we need to get that passed through Congress.
Yes. So
those initiatives, because, right?
It is imperative.
Right.
And the problem, of course, is that for budget measures, you can have 50 votes in the Senate and get things passed. But for pure policies, you need 60 votes in the Senate, and that would rely on Democrat votes. Now, Democrats should vote for a lot, like a secure border. Okay, Democrats, you want to vote against a secure border. But I think there is this, you know, Trump derangement where they're going to vote against a secure border. So it is going to take a lot of creativity. It's going to take a lot of effort from Congress. We need them to put that that effort in. So President Trump is focused on it. We're focused on it. But only Congress can do Congress's job, and it's time that they do that.
It is. Amen to that. Last question. I keep saying last question, but one more here. What about in the states, the governors, the judges? They are just defying the executive orders. I mean, I'm from Illinois, and boy, Pritzker is just going crazy over there. But that's happening across the country in all the liberal states. How do we get this corrected? I mean, there's an executive order saying A, and that is what's supposed to be happening.
Right. So, for example, if a state says we're going to continue to subject women to men in their locker rooms, right, men in their sports, the federal law, you know, they're not defying an executive order. They're defying Congress. They're defying federal law, which Title IX says you have to provide women an equal opportunity. If you're saying that women have to get a volleyball slammed in their face in order to participate, that is not an equal, safe, fair opportunity. So, on one hand, we're all federalists, and states are permitted to have bad policies, but they're not permitted to have bad policies in defiance of federal law. So if that's what you're going to do, then you're not going to have education funding. You're just not going to have it. And guess what? If you want to tax your own citizens more, jack up property interests more so that you can have crazy schools, then that's, you know, that's on you. But there's other individual laws that apply to child abuse, kidnapping, these types of things, when you're actually transing children in the schools, when you're practicing medicine without a license. So we're also going to be using the Department of Justice to work alongside state attorneys general to prosecute these individualized violations of law.
Good.
So, you know,
they must be held accountable.
You're going to always have crazy people. You're going to have crazy states.
You're always going to have crazy people. It's true.
And the same type of federalism breathing room that allowed, I live in Texas, that allowed Texas to be awesome even when Biden was president, we want to have that same amount of breathing room. But at the same time, you're not going to do it with federal funds, and you're not going to do it in violation of federal law.
Right, which reminded me again of the executive order of dismantling the Department of Education, which we were there for as well. I mean, what another great opportunity to put the control back to the states, back to the parents. That was another rock star that no one ever thought was ever going to happen, and he surely did it.
Right, so the Department of Education is the smallest agency in the federal government. People think that you need it, that maybe it hires all the teachers. No, this is something that didn't even exist until the Carter administration. It was a giveaway to the teachers unions because they wanted a centralized place to be able to lobby. But the education functions themselves, some of them are treating kids with special needs. That's something that should live inside the Department of Health and Human Services.
Move it over, right.
School lunch, people think that that's in the Department of Education. No, that's already in the USDA. Student loans is the bulk of what the Department of Education does. But the Department of Education is not a bank. It's not a bank. Why do these people know how to, manage?
Let's put it where it should be.
$1.7, $1.8 trillion in debt. And they're, of course, managing it terribly. So putting things where they belong, getting the bureaucracy out of education, moving state functions to the states, this is common sense stuff. People are trying to make it into some sort of, like, all the teachers are going to get fired.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
And we, as moms and families, we're so concerned about the education system in general because we've seen what they have done with those federal dollars and the indoctrination camps that they've made the schools. What's your advice to the moms that are watching? I mean, what can we tell them that we've seen a lot of hope? We've seen a lot of change, good change, I always say, but when we see change. Just for them to keep fighting and stay encouraged. I mean, it's difficult times right now, but the moms are on the forefront. They've been fighting for a lot of these executive orders that President Trump did, and I think will continue to do.
Yeah, I think it's to continue to show up. So President Trump notices when people are supportive of the things that he's doing, when it's what he calls when they show up. And so the left right now is getting emboldened and they're showing up and they're doing crazy stuff. They're blowing up Teslas and they're trying to get more MS-13 members into our country. And when we are on the winning side, we tend to not show up or think that everything's going to be fine. But showing up means there are things in the news that the left is not going to like and they are going to blow it up. And how on our side do we continue to show up,
yes,
to champion good policies? And sometimes good policies don't always sound like the nice thing, right? Oh, DEI in schools, maybe that sounds like the nice thing. But you know it's not. It's actually racism. And so to continue to point out the lies of the left, to continue to show up, to continue to applaud things that are good, I think that's necessary, because if the side on the right just goes silent and lets President Trump fight all of his own battles all by himself, then the left is going to just drown that out. And so we have to always continue to be out there.
Right. That's what we've been telling our moms. There was a rejoicing, a celebration, because President Trump and this administration is here now, but we have to stay engaged and we have to help on the ground in our communities and in our homes. So thank you, May.
Yeah, thanks. It was really fun.
Really fun. Thanks. Yes, keep showing up. May said it, and we always say it here at Moms for America, and we cannot take our foot off the pedal now that President Trump has won. We have got to keep fighting. May reminded us that in order for President Trump's important executive orders to be turned into permanent laws, we need to stay engaged and be a part of the political process. You hear that from us all the time, right? Moms for America is going to keep pushing forward, and we need your help to do it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and after we return, more from Washington, D.C. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible, and the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, welcome back, moms. Before we continue, I do want to ask you to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with the moms in your circle. This is how we get our podcast out and our information. I know they'll love this discussion. Also, if you have an idea or a topic, a guest for a podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. Lastly, I want to invite all of the moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I surely hope that you're a part of our sisterhood. It's moms like us uniting all across the country to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you do that? It's so easy. You go to momsforamerica.us and you sign up for our newsletter and you take advantage of all the incredible resources that we have available for you, moms. So please go to momsforamerica.us and join the movement. We would love to have you. My next White House interview was with the Principal Deputy Press Secretary, Harrison Fields. Now, Harrison was raised by a single mom, and he talked to us about how President Trump knows that moms are the nucleus of the household. What matters to moms matters to the president. The first 100 days have been a whirlwind, but this administration is just getting started. And as Harrison says, no disrespect to Duncan, but right now, America runs on Trump.
All right, Harrison just sat down at the table with the Moms for America podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, first, let us know what your position is.
Yes.
So I get it all straight and a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm a principal deputy press secretary for the White House press office. My job is to deal with the mainstream media, the left-wing media, every single day.
How are you holding up?
I'm holding up. But we've got an amazing team. We've got a great communication director in the president of the United States.
Right.
Amazing press secretary in Caroline Leavitt, and our team, our complete comms team, is truly masterclass, and we have a good story to tell. So it makes our job a lot easier compared to trying to make it seem like we're doing good. We're actually doing good.
Right.
So
it
works out well.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about dealing with the media. I mean, President Trump, it's so funny, right? He has, redefined what media is.
Yes.
And wasn't there an article today on the New York Times or something about President Trump redefining it. Right.
Yeah.
Only he can do stuff like this.
Only he could.
And what is this like to be a part of an administration that literally redefines? And I mean redefine in a positive way.
Right.
We're not making something up. We're just getting it back on track.
Well, I love the cover, and I was talking to Caroline about it earlier. If you look at the pictures, you had Caroline behind the podium and all these hands raised.
Right.
Karine Jean-Pierre behind the podium, no hands are raised. It was a stark contrast in really what's going on. All the hands are raised because they're so interested in covering this White House, but the hand raising is a symbol, is symbolic of the amount of people we're letting in. President Biden took away 400 press passes. If we would have taken away one press pass, we would have been in court fighting.
Could you imagine?
Biden administration would never sued. We have opened it up to everyone, and then we're hosting a lot of these events. This is the third day of our 100-day celebration, which we've had media outlets come here, talk to us, get the message directly from White House people like me, and we're opening it up. It's all a great thing.
Yeah.
So this is why we have rooms like this. We are letting in more people into the White House to cover us. We understand in 2025, the media landscape isn't like it wasn't like in 1985. So we're opening it up. We're giving more voices. Your audience is a very niche audience in which we are trying to get to.
Yeah.
Moms are everything.
Right.
So we're able to talk to people like me from the White House, open up the door, and it's so much better than the way of the old.
Well, I have nothing to compare it to,
right,
literally, but I will say the Trump administration has invited Moms for America and so many of these organizations to the White House with their moms, with their kids, for executive orders, for Women's History Month, for executive order for dismantling education, men and women's sports.
Right.
I mean, I'm here today. It is very friendly.
Right.
I don't even know how you guys are surviving because you must not take a minute's break.
You know, we are pushing along because we're running on adrenaline.
Right.
We've got this mandate from the American people to come and do things.
Yes.
And then you've got this tempo that the president sets of like, get it done. All gas, zero brakes. And you all kind of understand like what we're all here for. We're here to serve a purpose. The American people said, we don't like what's happening to our country. President Trump, we are trusting you to fix it. He built out the team. Now we go and do it. So that's what we're here every day. We come here ready to go to battle.
Wow.
And but we're having fun along the way. It's the greatest job. It's the greatest workplace. Meeting people like you, connecting with people that don't necessarily have a vision into the White House is the history. It's a history-defining moment. I told that to Caroline today. This is your legacy. This is the president's legacy. This is the White House press team and comms team's legacy.
Yeah.
We are opening up the doors to this White House so that people like you and all your followers can talk to people like me and hear directly from the source what we're doing every single day.
Yeah. So what else? Can you pull the curtain back a little bit for us? What is it? What are your days like? How often are the press briefings? How often is President Trump just decide to talk to everybody out on the the lawn?
Yes.
And everybody has to run. And, you know, I mean, it is very exciting. You can feel the energy here. And the communication, which is your department, communicating to the American people, to the moms, to the families on the great things that he's done and going to do.
Yeah. It's fun because we have different elements. We have a digital team that is working all the social media, their graphics, their videos, their pictures, their rapid response is incredible. You're seeing it in real time. People at home have X or Truth. You're able to get a perspective of the White House every single day. We do it so authentic and cool and new that it's just fun to even like see it. It's just nice to see. And then we do all media. We have a lot of spokespeople that go out and talk to people
sure
like
do.
You.
Yeah.
Our press briefings are amazing. The way that they're structured, Caroline is so well studied. She's able to combat with the reporters every
amazing.
Single day. She sets the tempo. She sets the rules.
Yeah.
She's not going to be ran over. And then we've got research that are looking at, you know, oh, Doge is so terrible. But in 1991, on the White House lawn, President Bill Clinton and Al Gore sounded like they were supporters of Doge.
Right.
No one would have remembered that. I wasn't even born. But we have a research team full of 20-year-olds that are digging into the archives and combating
right.
them with facts.
You've got
it's
a great
awesome.
Research team.
Yeah, it's great.
Right. What's your message to the moms? I mean, the 100 days have been amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to highlight a couple of things that you thought were top of the heap.
Yeah, well...
Where would you start? I don't even know.
Yeah, if you look at what we've done on groceries,
yes.
grocery prices are coming down. I was telling Tudor Dixon, great mom herself.
She's on our advisory board.
She's great. Tudor's great. I said, how nice it is. I live in Northern Virginia. Gas has a number two in front of it. Over the entire Biden years,
oh,
it was
sure.
always three or four,
sure.
sometimes five.
Sure.
So it's even feeling that, and that's a direct correlation to what moms want. I come from a single mother.
Oh, you
my
do,
mother
yeah.
was a single mom, raised three kids. My wife is a new mom. We've got a 7-month-old at home.
Oh, congratulations.
I am all in on the moms. President Trump is all in on
he
the moms.
He sure is.
You guys have an unthinkable task every single day.
And we manage our entire home. We,
you
we're
do.
The CEO.
You do.
I mean, and we say this, we're the moms group that loves the dads and the men. We,
of course.
We love our dads. We love our husbands. We love our sons. But the moms manage it. What is it? The stat is that the mom decides 90-something percent
yeah.
of everything that is bought
yeah.
and shared and what the kids wear and what they eat.
Yeah.
It all happens at the kitchen table there.
It's so true.
So to your point, President Trump is concentrating on the family so much.
Yeah.
And yes, gas is down. Eggs are down. The economy, we're concerned about the economy because moms don't know if they can afford a gallon of milk or a gallon of gas.
Right, which is why they trusted President Trump
right.
with his economic policies. And you talk about what we're doing with tariffs, but we got tax cuts on the way, we got deregulation on the way, and we're unleashing the will of the American energy infrastructure that Biden was trying to destroy. All of that's going to help moms, it's going to help average Americans. We're also tackling the social issues, the cultural issues
sure.
that moms are hot on. You talk about mama bears coming
yeah,
in force.
That's right.
When you say a man can play in women's sports, you're
yes.
going to get moms, my mom including, say, oh no. When they try to misgender or do the pronoun stuff in
yeah.
schools, guess
ain't
what?
Happening.
Moms like you are going to come out and say, not happening.
Right.
When Secretary Kennedy comes out and says, we're
yes.
getting rid of food dyes, we're making
we
sure.
We were there. We were
amazing.
There for that. It was wonderful.
The Maha moms, like,
yeah.
we are doing, we're making a movement here. It's spearheaded by women. Moms are in control of this. It's all a great thing. President Trump wants you all at the table.
Yeah.
Because moms are the nucleus of the household.
Yeah.
We all know that to be true. President Trump talks about his own mom all the time.
Right.
We have a respect for women, for moms.
And you know what a woman
ignored.
Is.
Oh, for sure.
You know what
I know. My mom and my wife will, and my daughter, I have a daughter.
Aww.
I know. I change diapers every single day.
See?
I know what a woman is.
Yes. I know. And that's the thing. I mean, it's gotten so crazy.
Yeah.
And it's
so
just
crazy.
Gotten. And so to have a message of truth, a message of that there are essential truths.
Yes.
And that's what I appreciate
basic
about.
Facts.
Right. Basic
yeah.
fact. Common sense.
Common sense. This is what we're bringing back. It's
yeah.
refreshing.
It is refreshing.
Yeah.
So first 100 days, amazing. What about the second 100 days? I can't imagine because
yeah.
I think you guys are just getting warmed up.
Trade deals signed, delivered. You're going to see the immediate impacts of those. Tax cuts, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. Continued deregulation, more money to our military, more money to our southern border. We got to beef up our military. We got to make sure our southern border
yeah,
is secure.
Yeah.
Potential peace, amazing. In 100 days, we are so far, we're much closer to achieving peace in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe than President Biden was able to achieve. You're going to see the continued attack against this woke ideology of DEI and CRT.
Mm.
We're holding colleges accountable
yeah.
which is amazing. We are eradicating anti-Semitism. The list goes on. It's the next 100 days, dare I say, it's going to be better than the first 100 days.
That's what I heard. heard in this and in some of the material I was reading, it's like, you guys, you know, you think that we've done some incredible things now. And really, I think a lot of it was very just essential, like defining a man and a woman, you know, no men and women sports, the Department of Education, all these things, no, not mutilating children. I mean, some of these things were just so easy to think through, like nobody should be able to do that.
Yeah. We're in the stage of the cocktail party. The first 100 days of the cocktail party, the hors d'oeuvres are being passed around, the cocktails are being passed around. We haven't even got to the reception yet.
Okay.
And if you, I planned a wedding, you had probably planned many weddings.
Yeah.
The reception is where it's at.
Okay.
That's where you get the full course meal, that's when you get the DJ. We haven't even hit that part yet. We all remember the glory days of Trump 1. Economy was cooking, world peace, border was secure.
Energy independence.
The list goes on. Can you imagine what's going to be 100, 200, 300 days after this? It's going to be great.
No, I hope you, and everybody they talk to, they're like, yeah, we're a little tired, but one person is not tired, and that is President Trump.
Oh, yeah. No, America runs on Trump right now. We've got our Duncan, but like we are running on Trump energy, and it keeps you going. It really does.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. What do you do, though, when the media, well, I know what you're doing because you're bringing all of the alternative media and expanding your reach, because that's been a big problem in the past. This media has been so biased, so left, you know, just not reporting the truth.
Yeah.
And not letting, journalists have become, you know, activists.
Activists, yep. Oh, well, you got that problem, and then you're seeing now they're trying to defend this MS-13 illegal immigrant.
What is that?
It's ridiculous. It goes to show you the sinister nature of these people. The president, he says it all the time, I could cure cancer. And the Democrat and the media said, I didn't do it fast enough.
Sure.
Or they would find something to complain about it. This is the state of the American media. The unfortunate thing is, when they are doing their job, you see a side of them that's not really emblematic of who they are behind the scenes. I deal with these people every single day. Just talking to a lady today, talking about her kids, talking about her mom that's sick. These are human beings at the end of the day. I acknowledge that. But when they go and do their work, it's like, wait a second. What happened to this person? Yeah. It's devastating because they're answering to the C-suite of their media organization. They're answering to their editors, and that's where the rot really is.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the rank and file people that are doing the groundwork. It's the people that they answer to that are pushing them to have this agenda that's disgusting. And what it's doing, it's cheapening their legitimacy. People aren't reading. They're going to people like you. Why do I need AP when I've got Moms for America?
Right.
Why do I need CNN
when
I've got people like you?
Right.
We're opening the doors, we're giving them access. And behind closed doors, they're like, guys, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We have an accessible president. We have a press office that actually answers the press email.
Yes.
Funny story. The Bidens never answered.
And I can attest to all of this because they have been very communicating very easily with us.
Biden administration had a general press inbox. They never answered it. We make sure that inbox goes to zero every single day. We have three sides of the story. We've got the media editorializing.
Right.
We've got the opposition, and then we've got ourselves. We want to make sure we get our side of the story in every single story. And it takes us a lot of, it's a big effort.
It's a big hurdle.
But we try to do it. It's crucial. Because they try to set the narrative. We have to set the narrative.
You're doing a great job.
I appreciate it.
Words of advice to our moms, just in this day and age, and just encourage them because it's tough. You've got a baby, a little baby girl, and you want an America that she can live the American dream and prosper and have a family. So to our moms.
Yeah. My advice to the moms, continue what you guys are doing. You guys are the nucleus of the home. Without you, this country, our culture will dissolve. Keep the faith, pray, bring prayer back, and give a little nudge to your husbands. Dad's got to get out there,
That's
too.
That's right.
Dads need to go to the teacher conferences. They need to get engaged.
That's right.
They need to stand up for their daughters, for their sons. But from our vantage point, from the president, from this White House, we thank the moms. You guys are the backbone of this country. I love my mom. I had an amazing grandmother. My wife is an incredible mom. Happy early Mother's Day to all you guys. This country, the world would not be the same without moms.
Well, you got to love it, moms. The Trump administration knows that moms are the backbone of this country. And of course, we all know that dads, we need our dads as well, as Harrison said. So dads, please step up, get engaged right alongside those mamas. All right. Thank you, May. Thank you, Harrison. And thank you, President Trump, for inviting us to be a part of celebrating 100 days in office. We so look forward to the next 100 exciting times ahead. And also part two, I want to let you know of my visit to the White House will be coming up next week. So make sure you join us next week as well. Also, I would like to invite you to check out our new TV program that we're in the second season of it. It's called The Mom View. It's a place where conservative conversations happen, and we cover it all there, but from a really good perspective. It's not the view you know, it's the good view. So go to themomview.com, check us out, and sign up to be a part of The Mom View. It's a really great show. I say this every week, moms, you are the heartbeat of the home. And here at Moms for America, we're helped to support you in any way that we can. We have all of it from the kitchen table to Congress. Go to momsforamerica.us and see all the information, resources that we have for you moms. Hope to see you next week. And let's keep changing our country one home at a time. Thanks so much for joining us. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.